Hello, and welcome back to Seeking Sustainability. It's been a good like minute and a half or two or three since I've posted an episode, early November to be specific. And yeah, my life right now, I guess, depending on your perspective, is kind of a break because I graduated college and still like figuring out my next move. But I took a break within the break that is my life, and I went down to Florida with my boyfriend's family. Obviously took all COVID safety precautions when flying and whatnot. But so I did record some episodes when I was down there, but I didn't edit any. So I have a bunch lined up that need to be posted. So yeah, it's been a few weeks since I posted an episode. And ironically, the last episode I posted, I recorded the intro the day and posted it the day before the election results came out. And I was like on the edge of my seat, not literally, but like emotionally, and like unsure of what was going to happen and stressed out. And here we are. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, I mean, this is like super old news, but since I haven't, you know, sat down with my microphone in a while and recorded an episode, it's would be wrong to not bring up the fact that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to be in office. And I'm so excited. And I know that my fervent optimism can lead me to forget that there's so much more work to be done. You know, this is an end. It's not the end all be all solution. But it's a start. And it's so exciting. So we can wrap up 2020, and the interesting spectacle of that was, and move forward knowing that things are going to get a little bit better, or a lot better. I mean, we still have a lot of work to do, but I have hope, and I'm very excited, and yeah. So, also, I wanted to thank anyone who's reached out to me, the small handful, like, account on one hand of people that have reached out to me and said very nice things about my podcast. If you are one of those people, or not, but you're listening to this, thank you. You are a godsend angel. And seriously, it's like really nice to be doing this thing in your free time for fun and you receive nice messages about it. It's, I don't know, it's encouraging. No shame in that. So this episode is with Kimberly Waldrop, who, again, I recorded this like 2 months ago. So Kimberly, forgive me for posting this super late, but I actually found her brand, which is Territory, and she creates palm and coconut oil free soap. I found her brand through a giveaway that I won. Like, how serendipitous is that? It's also been like my new favorite word lately. I won a giveaway on Instagram that included a ton of brands, including Activist Skincare, whose products I've been loving. Axiology Beauty, who has amazing products. Territory, and I think it's called Raw Love Sunscreen. I'm not sure, but I'll link all of those brands in the show notes. And again, I'm not sponsored by these brands because my podcast isn't there yet. You know, one day, hopefully. Fingers crossed. But yeah, this was literally just a giveaway that I won, which was so cool. And her products, so Kimberly's products, it's soap, and they're these beautiful little cubes, and they have the two T's like etched into it, and they have like a twine or jute cord through the middle of it that comes out in like a little bow or knot. They're really, really nice. Even though I recorded this a couple months ago, and I had, you'll hear in the episode, like me telling her I'm gonna use her soap, but even I'm haven't even used it yet because I'm still trying to get through another bar of soap that I've been on using for like a couple of months, obviously. But I will say, both of those soaps that I won from her are on my nightstand, and they're beautiful and they smell amazing. And her, I mentioned this in the episode, but her business card is beautiful and her website's amazing and her Instagram, like, she's really killing it. So yeah, Kimberly, you're doing awesome. But yeah, so in this episode, we talk about her brand, but we also talk about a lot about her backstory, which was super interesting. She was in the garment industry, working in the apparel industry in New York City as a designer, which for anyone who is studying design or works in design knows that that is like sleepless hard work, and it's not well paid oftentimes. So Kimberly, again, you hear about it in the episode, so I won't, you know, go too deep into it, but just, it was so interesting hearing her backstory and hearing about how this burnout and these health issues and her allergies led to her creating this incredible product and this amazing brand. We also talk about her stance on environmentalism and her environmental journey and how that opened her eyes and really changed her perception and perspective of like the things going on around her. And so it's a great conversation, and that's really all I have to say for the intro. Additionally, before I forget, in the last episode, I talked to the director of education from Remake. So if you didn't listen to that, make sure to go sign their petition. It's in the link in the show notes in that episode. So yeah, anyways, without further ado, let's welcome Kimberly to the Seeking Sustainability podcast.
So my first question that I always ask people is, in your opinion or from your perspective, what does it mean to be an environmentalist?
Someone who always has the environment in mind in everything they do.
That's a really good answer.
I mean, just being conscious of it and making the people around you conscious of it as best as you can. And, I feel like everyone that's on this planet should be an environmentalist because if you're on this earth, you've actually, how can I put it? Like, I don't know. Like, Earth doesn't need us, right? Earth can flourish and progress and reproduce and remove and decay and flourish on its own without us. So I feel like whoever is on this planet, when they are of a certain age where they can, when they make their own decisions on, you know, how they consume and how they bring forth things in this world, whether they're creating a product or whether they're using a resource from the earth or putting something back into the earth or putting something out into the universe where people can consume it, or whatever people are doing, the environment should be at least top three like pinpoints to make sure they're not taking. I'll put it like this. If there was no Earth, we wouldn't be here having this conversation. There would be no, you know, there would be nothing going on if it wasn't for Earth. And at the rate it's going right now, it doesn't seem like we have much time. I don't think Mother Nature is going to give us too much time to try to figure it out. But, you know, I don't know. But that's a good question. I've never been asked that. You stumped me on that one. That was a good one.
Thank you. Yeah. No, literally what you said, I think it's so simple, but it's so true. Like,
it is so simple.
Earth it's
so
doesn't simple. Need us. Like, we need it. You know, and I think we have this. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I was gonna say that like we have this like dominant mindset that like humans are superior and humans like own the earth and the earth belongs to us, but we belong to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you just want to talk about your background, how you got to where you are, how you got interested, how you started your business, basically a synopsis of your journey.
Yeah. It's so funny that you mentioned fashion marketing. So I went to FIT for design.
Oh, I toured there. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I went to FIT for design and technical design. So I was a technical designer for 6 years. And I worked in lingerie. I was I was TD for lingerie companies for 6 years, and I hated it.
That's actually like so interesting though.
It's very interesting. I hated it, and it wasn't feeding me the way I wanted it to feed me. I was, and especially being in that environment, I was working for private companies. So most of them were Jewish owned, and being the only woman of color, jumping from one Jewish company from the next, I was underpaid. Like it was an insult what I was getting paid versus what I was supposed to be getting paid. And me constantly having to ask for raises and working extremely long hours, commuting all the way from Long Island to Manhattan every single day, staying, you know, doing 12-hour days, no overtime, and still having to meet deadlines, and just had to just do whatever I had to do to keep my job. And I mean, I was doing it for 6 years. I would say I've had to leave, and I've got fired from like four different positions. And it wasn't even, it was usually after I asked for raises. And then I realized that every time I asked for a raise, like maybe like a month, maybe like 3 weeks to a month later, they would let me go. And it was just like an ongoing thing. So I was just like, you know what? Maybe this just isn't. And it's funny because when I did my internship right after college, the head TD that I was interning for, this little Korean lady, and she said, Kim, it was my last day on my interview, and I was saying bye to everyone, and she was like, honestly, Kim, you're too much of an interesting person. Do not become a TD. She's like, do not become a TD. It's miserable. It's mundane. It's boring. She's like, yeah, it pays well, but you're never going to be fulfilled. And when she said that to me, I was like, she's being a fucking hater. She doesn't believe in me. I'm gonna be the best TD I could possibly be. And lo and behold, like she was like my Mr. Miyagi for TD, and I should have listened to her. She was like, you're too creative of a person.
That's so crazy.
And I was like, in the back of my head, I'm like, lady, you don't even know me. Like I've only been interning here for like a month. Relax. Like, you don't know me like that. I could do this. No, girl. It was just, and don't get me wrong, like the job isn't hard, especially, you know, the job wasn't hard. It was just, there's too much work for only one person. And then to try to find other skilled people to help you or to assist you in that job, and then having deadline after deadline after deadline, it's really hard to keep up and then have time to have a life outside of work. The work-life balance was not there.
Oh my God. Do you think people glamorize the fashion industry, like working?
Absolutely, 1,000%.
Because I've had tastes of that. Like, it's like, wait, hold on. This isn't what I, like, and I think too, like, I don't know if you experienced this, but like, you kind of know it and you're like, oh, you know, I'm so passionate. Like, I'm willing to put up with that. I'm willing to work hard. But then like, once you're actually in it, it's awful. And you're like, feel dehumanized and like,
absolutely.
People have this mentality of like, oh, you need to pay your dues.
And yeah. It's like, yeah. Like you have to, like, you are a bottom feeder for a long time.
I hope that changes.
It won't. As long as the people who are running the industry are still running the industry, it's not going to change. It's like the government. As long as whoever's running the government is still in running the government, nothing's going to change.
Yeah. And it's also interesting because people don't realize how big and powerful the apparel industry is.
And the amount of waste.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
The amount of waste that people don't realize it. They don't understand it. I mean, I've done projects where it's So what happens is when you're a TD, your main job is to make sure that the garments that are being manufactured fit properly. The colors are coming in, the fabric colors are correct. Making sure that all the elastics or the belt loops or the buttons are correct and the stitching is correct and making sure that the fit is correct. Those are we're seeing samples over and over and over. And a lot of those things get rejected before anything gets accepted. So you're getting an abundance of clothes that they're not, how can I put it? Like
flawed.
Yes. So there's a lot of flawed garments that are being tossed out.
And the fabric too. All of that fabric that's flawed.
And the fabric that's flawed as well. So once we reject something, that whole bolt, we don't know. I don't know if it gets sent to another factory. I don't know if it goes back into the archive. I don't know what happens to it, but
that's crazy that you don't we're so disconnected. We don't even know what happens.
And then, right. And then think about how many designer companies, how many low-end companies, fast fashion, think about every clothing line you could think of is doing exactly that. Children's clothes, lingerie, men's underwear, dog clothes. I mean, even down to furniture, textiles for furniture, textiles for bedding, curtains. I mean, think about how much fabric, bath towels, bath mats, shower curtains. And I mean, every household has this mm-hmm. across in the world. So imagine how much is being wasted.
Also, it's so much to think about, like the supply chain behind that, like who were the hands that touched it? Where did that cotton come from? How was that synthetic fiber made? Like,
how are those people treated?
How exactly? Like,
what environment are they in? You know, is it heavily polluted? Is the air clean? Is there air conditioning? Are they sweating? Are they, you know, how much space do they have in between each other? Are they cramped? Is it, you know what I mean? So yeah.
It's crazy.
So
how did you, pivot? At what point did you have like an aha moment, or was it transitional? What made you pivot to creating your company?
It was a very, very tiny transition. I think I got fired October 2017. And November 2017, I decided to start Territory. But Territory was always something that Territory wasn't Territory before it became Territory. Let me say that again. I knew I wanted to. Okay, so my mom owned her own. My mom is a soap maker. She used to make soap 20 years ago. She had her own soap company 20 years ago. It was called Not Just Candles because she made more things than she made candles, but she made more than. It was, she made more than candles. So it was not, anyway. So she made soap. She made, I mean, all the apothecary shit that people are doing now, my mom did it 20 years ago and she was killing the game. Mm-hmm. And she was in stores. She was doing Jacob Javits Center. She was killing it. And at that age, I was like around 9 or 10. And I would go on, you know, I would go at these trade shows with her and I would experience her talking to people about soap. And even then, like, she was teaching me how to make, I was her helper. She was teaching me how to make soap and teaching me about essential oils and teaching me about the difference between base oils and fragrance oils and essential oils and kind of like schooling me on things that I had no idea I'd be using now. And we still, even as we moved around and you know, we moved from one house to the next, she still kept all her like old, like she kept all her like old supplies. And so I around that time, I was at my last job. I was being bullied, literally being bullied at this position. And again, being the only woman of color. And every word that came out of my mouth or any suggestion that I made or any questions that I asked from that position, at that being at that position, it was like I was being punished for speaking out loud, or I was being punished for having a suggestion. So my last position, I was looking at soaps, looking at soap companies, and thinking to myself, I could do this. My mom used to do this. I know what this is. And I'm looking at what everyone else is doing. And I'm like, this is trash. Like, this is
like, I could do it better.
Like, I could do it so much better. You know what I mean? And so prior to that, I've had my own skin issues with dealing with eczema for, you know, specifically while working in the garment industry, because of the amount of stress that I was dealing with, and my skin would not behave well, and my diet was shit. I mean, I barely ate healthy because there was barely any time to eat because I was working 12 hours. And then when I got off work at 8 p.m., didn't get home until 9:30 because I live an hour and a half away. I'm eating at 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, going straight to bed. I'm gaining weight. My skin is terrible. I'm not taking care of myself because I'm putting way too much energy into these, you know, into being a technical designer. And it's just, and it's funny because I'm just like, how do people have families? How are people, you know, how are these people that are way above me? How are they having families, buying houses, and living a fulfilling life? And I realized that they weren't. They were very miserable people. My acne, and then, you know, my hair wasn't doing well, and my nails were breaking all the time, and just, I wasn't taking supplements, and I wasn't, you know, drinking enough water. I would literally be in these places, no water, no sip of water, because your mind is, so much is going on that you can't even think enough to take care of yourself, because you're so busy, you know, attending to people overseas, or, you know, your boss is looking over your shoulder, and deadlines have to be met, and things have to get due tomorrow, and there's meetings. And so that was, like, in conjunction with the poor lifestyle that I was living, and then being sick and tired of being in, you know, working these jobs that weren't fulfilling me, and then realizing that I could probably... And you know what? Territory wasn't even supposed to be like this. It was supposed to be something more so creative than anything. But it wasn't until like earlier 2018 when I realized that, well, I got tested for some skin allergies that I just couldn't understand why all these over-the-counter shit wasn't working for me. Mm. Anything from Aveeno, Johnson & Johnson. I mean, I tried it all. Doctor prescribed me oral medication, steroids. I mean, the whole nine yards. And nothing was working for me. And if it was working for me, it was working until I stopped using whatever it was, and then it came back harder. And so I was, you know, rustling up my soap making skills again with me and my mom. And I got test results back saying that I'm allergic to coconut oil. And when I found that out, I said, okay, so let's pivot territory as a coconut oil free thing. And I did a few batches. I tested it on myself, and I hadn't looked back. I was more so excited to get my creative juices flowing than anything, because I was in such a dark place. I wouldn't say, I was in a dark, you can call it a dark place. I was in a difficult position where But then again, I was in a grateful position because my mom never put the pressure on me to be like, well, you need to go find your own place and you need to move out and da 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 da. And thankfully, she never put me in that position. My mom and I relationship are like, she's like,
that's amazing. My best friend. I love that.
And what she was just like, whatever you want to do, kid, just do whatever makes you happy at this point. Because clearly she's like, I've seen you work in these companies and you're just miserable. You come home, you look sick. I looked ill. Like I was physically ill. Like I wasn't myself. And my mom was just like, kiddo, do what makes you happy. If it makes you happy, you want to make soap and it makes you happy, do it. And I was in a good space, you know, like, I mean, I've always known how to make soap. It was just like, let me see what new shit I could do. And everything about territory that it is now came a little bit, maybe like 6 months later, as far as like being sustainable and understanding how to go from being a person that is in the city, living the city life, and not really being conscious of Earth, Mother Earth, because you're not in that environment much versus being at home and being closer to nature and being around my mom, who has a crazy green thumb, who is teaching me even more things about gardening and just nature in general. And where we live, it's the complete opposite from being in the city. And, you know, it wasn't until being at home and like working my business, you know, trying to come up with a plan, and I realized how to, you know, that part of territory where I decided to be plastic free, only biodegradable and recyclable items, packaging moving forward, that stuff came later. More importantly, I was trying to focus on my formulation, on maintaining this new product that I came up with for my skin and my skin issues. And you know, in conjunction with the lab results that I got back from my dermatologist.
Yeah, well, firstly, your mom sounds so cool. Yes. She sounds like who I want to be when I grow up, like just that lady that like knows everything. Like, I love people like that. And then secondly, when you were kind of thinking about, because I mean, regarding like reducing your impact and like thinking about this thing we call sustainability, it's such a process. But like, what were some of the things that you had to like think about or that like you went through with that?
So I will say social media made a huge impact on how I looked at at pollution in general. I didn't realize how fucked up we are. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't realize how mentally fucked up we are. Psychologically, there's a psychological mount that we need to get over to better understand or to get out of this weird box that we are in, to really look at the problem that we have on this planet and be okay with saying, you know what, let me be less of an issue, or let me be less of a contribution to this problem. I mean, I'm still struggling with my little sister, and I mean, like, I do think there's a community of millennials out there that are trying to be more conscious, but my sister, oh my gosh, like, we get into fights all the time, like, do not put the plastic in the garbage, put it in the recycle. Like, I'm always having to like tell people, like, don't put that plastic in there, put it in that one. And people are just like, everyone that comes over my house it's for the first time they are like, what is that bag with all the like onion skins and
oh my god, you sound like
and
me.
I'm like and I'm just like it's compost. Like, what do you use it for? And I'm like, well, since you're asking, it's like,
that's so funny.
You don't realize how much people just don't know about that, the pollution issue that we're having.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Just like basic stuff. Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that. And social media, there was a short part of territory's time when I was using plastic, and it was because I don't know why it was at the time, it was the cheaper option, and I didn't really know anything about biodegradable paper. And until, again, social media, you start seeing these people that are doing excellent things for the environment by cutting plastic out. And it made me to see those brands do it, it made me feel amazing. Like, wow, like people actually do care. I'm coming from a background of people that don't have recycle. They don't know how to recycle. Recycling is something that is not really taught in school. They teach it very young, but like not, it's like a 30 minute thing. Like they probably teach it to you about like for one day in the school that I went to. And agriculture is, you know, also not something that's being taught. But so when I saw those companies using alternatives to package their items, it made me feel like, okay, wow, there's a world out there that is trying. And because I've been more connected to nature since, you know, not being in the city anymore, seeing the pollution that you see in the city, and then coming out here to Long Island, which is just a little bit more cleaner, seeing how my mom, you know, when she's gardening, she'll pull out like old like candy bar wrappers from the dirt, and she's like, what, like, why, like, how did this get here? And I'm thinking, and like just seeing all of these things when like a 6 month span being on social media, and then of course when you don't have a job, you're home, you have a lot of time on your hands. So
yeah,
I'm scrolling and I'm reading things and I'm looking at little videos of turtles being choked with soda can, you know, plastic soda can things, and like birds, and you're seeing all of this, and I'm just like, wow, like I haven't been seeing what's really been going on, because I've just been so focused on my life, my career, that wasn't fruitful at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there was so much out in the world that I didn't know and couldn't see because of my life and how, you know, how I guess tunnel vision everything was. And so when I quit that job, my eyes just opened up so much, and social media has helped that tremendously. You know, my mom has been composting for years now, and I didn't know what composting was up until maybe I started Territory, because while my mom is here composting, I'm in the city all the time. Like I'm living in the city. I'm in the city. I see people with their little coffee things, paper cups, coffee, plastic cups, coffee. I mean, you're seeing people eat in plastic containers, and it's just a different, I'm seeing a different way of life. And then when you come back home, when I came back home, I saw the slower life, and I felt you do get more grounded with nature, and you realize that the difference between living in the city and living in a you know, less conscious place where there's nothing but buildings, there are barely any trees, there's barely any grass, there's barely any greenery, there's barely any plant life. And you come home to Long Island and you're surrounded by, you literally live in a forest. You have no choice but to connect with nature a little more. And I realized that when you're home, you're using less plastic. I'm creating less trash because I'm not going out and eating. I'm cooking at home. I mean, it's a different lifestyle in general. And then it's just really interesting to see people that aren't used to the lifestyle coming into that, like inviting people into that space, and they're just like, whoa, I didn't know I was supposed to have three different garbage cans, or I didn't know that we're supposed to have three different cans for paper, plastic, glass, and people don't know how to sort their trash, and they don't know the difference between a healthy garbage can and an unhealthy garbage can. A healthy garbage can only contains food particles and like actual trash. A healthy, you know, an unhealthy one is like filled up all the time because it's like nothing is separated and it's full all the time. And then it's just like, I go to other people's homes and I'm just like, they only have one trash can and it's always full and the house always smells weird and they always have to take out the garbage. And I'm just like, well, you got to separate things. And they're like, so important. Things. It is important.
People like don't know. And I'm learning it too. Like it's something, because it is one of those things that it's like a hard pill to swallow kind of thing, where it's like, once you have those like blinders taken off, you're like, oh,
well, right.
The world is still like, there's plastic everywhere. I remember walking to Sam's Club after I started learning about plastic. And I was like, this is terrible. Like
everyone uses
plastic. And you're like hyper aware.
And it's fucked up because they're never going to stop.
Yeah. And then, yeah, no, I can completely relate. But I think separating trash is such a simple thing. But like, recycling is really complicated.
It is
simple, but recycling is really complicated. And it's like, how, like, there's information out there on it, but like, imagine if everyone knew like that there's so many things that don't actually get recycled and how to recycle properly. And if it, like, if we all could come, it's so idealistic, but like, if we could all come together and like talk about these things.
Right.
I think it's like, also when you mentioned tunnel vision, yeah, I think like a couple of things, it's important to step outside of yourself and look around. And because I mean, I can totally relate. You get into this rhythm of whatever else is happening around you, whether it's you're in a design building and you're just throwing away fabric scraps and pattern paper, or if you're in New York City and you're just on the go all the time, you get used to it.
Right.
It's
And it's like, you know, it's there, and there would be people that I saw that was long gone, like that was so far deep in the, you know, environmentalist game that it just looked alien from where I was standing. And there's a level of awareness that a lot of people don't have. And even if you do tell them, they forget shortly after. And then you have the people that is like, well, it doesn't matter because it's all going to the same place anyway. It's like, those are the people that get on my nerve.
Those are the people like, who are like, my individual impact doesn't, I'm just one person.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm just one person.
And you're
you
like,
are one person who have been living on this planet for how many years? Do you realize how much trash you've accumulated over your life?
We have this like disposability mentality. I mean, even like, so like I've always been, I mean, I feel like a lot of people who go to school for fashion, like I've always been like a product junkie. Like makeup has always been a huge part of my life until recently. So like I had palettes and brushes and I mean, just products. Like I worked at a hair salon in high school. So I had like tons of hair products and like, I've just always been so into that until like kind of more recently where I'm like, oh my God, this is hard plastic. Like how, like,
right.
And yeah. It's just so, I mean, if we're even going back to like skincare, all of that is like trash. Yeah, and how can we pivot and support companies like yours where it's like you can like know the person making it? And also I just want to compliment your packaging and your business card is so nice. I'm like, my boyfriend and I do graphic design, so I showed it to him and he's like, oh, this
seriously?
Is really nice. Yeah,
seriously, you want to work for me?
Yeah, if you ever need help, let me know.
So serious,
you're
girl.
So good. Like, and your packaging is beautiful. Like the glass just feels like luxurious. Like it's something that you want to sit on your counter. And like, yeah, it's just, it's beautiful. Like, it's really beautiful products. Even like your soaps that have like the kind of twine like at the top, they look like decoration. Like,
thank you.
They can like sit on your counter and look beautiful. And yeah, I think it's so important to support companies like yours.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Just here to compliment. But yeah, I mean, disposability is such a toxic mentality.
Oh yeah, it is. It is. I want to go back to what you were saying about products. I mean, like, I don't think these companies care.
No, they don't. No.
They don't care. They don't care. And I think they should do a better job with showing people how to dispose of the products. I think that I feel like, you know, they're again all about profit. They're gonna find the cheapest way to reduce cost on packaging, and if that means using plastic till the day that they die, they will.
Yeah,
I think it's. If they are going to take that route, they should at least put in a little effort on how to recycle, how to dispose of them correctly. Even electronics are hard to dispose of, and I think a lot of people hold on to electronics because they don't know how to dispose of it. A lot of people still don't know.
It's an old phone that I found in my drawer yesterday.
A lot of people don't know how to dispose of batteries. That's huge. Do you know how? And it doesn't seem like people still use batteries.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we use batteries for remotes. We use, and even if it's the flat little round ones, the lithium batteries. I mean, we're using batteries all the time, and when we dispose of them, I saw somebody throw batteries in the garbage, and I almost lost my shit. But I'm like, you know what? That's a grown ass man, and I can't tell him what to do. But it's just like, you know, it's there should be an easier way to dispose of electronics and batteries, and
absolutely,
and companies need to do better with making their packaging reusable, or more so recyclable, or even biodegradable. I feel like biodegradable, anything biodegradable is heaven sent, especially if it's used with, if there's any printing on it, you know, if the there needs to be vegetable ink, soy ink, or whatever that needs to be used. I mean, when you think about it, when you open up your makeup, the packaging is useless to you. So what do? We toss it.
Yeah. And it's also like, can you even recycle it? Cause like, you have to clean it out. And a lot of times the material isn't recyclable. So it's like the companies have put us in this position. They've created these problems, because if you think about it, like, not even that long ago, I mean, early 1900s, like, mascara came in like a pan kind of thing, or like, like, these things would come in like tin things. And I mean, the companies created these systems of packaging and package design and this disposability mentality. And
I think if they're going to go this far with creating something so beautiful, and with the energy that they're putting into creating these beautiful show-stopping, I gotta have it packaging, there could be a little bit more effort in how the molecular makeup of these items, so that it can possibly break down. I came across this, but you know, I think right now the real issue at hand for a lot of small businesses or sustainable businesses is that these biodegradable packagings are pricey. It's expensive. And a lot of companies want to grow quick. And unfortunately, in my opinion, I don't think that quick growth and remaining sustainable unless you have a crazy amount of funding, which I know some of these companies, one company that I admire so much, By Humankind, heavily funded, obviously.
I think I just applied for a job there.
They do an excellent job being sustainable. I mean, everything is recyclable, reusable, and or biodegradable. But they didn't start out like me. They're not bootstrapping. I've seen packaging, cardboard made from mushroom. I thought that was amazing.
There's so much innovation happening. There's
so much innovation, but it's so damn, I wouldn't be able to get my hands on it because the amount of product that I'm moving each release, it's pointless for me to order 500 boxes of a mushroom, biodegradable mushroom boxes.
Right.
It would put me under. It wouldn't make sense. But I think that as long as we're trying to be conscious of using less plastic or no plastic at all, and really doing more research and finding ways to create less footprint, or even creating less trash or less waste, as long as that's always something that you won't budge on, I think the word will get out slowly that you are a eco-friendly or eco-conscious brand. For me, it was going from living one lifestyle to the next and seeing the impact that it made on my life. I would never go back to plastic, and no matter what, even if it means that my customers won't get anything wrapped or my customers won't see packaging, that's the decision that I will have to make for my company, because it just doesn't make sense to add more trash onto the planet just to make a profit. Mm-hmm. Because I look at it like this. I look at it as a circle of life. I'm extracting, I'm taking from the earth.
Yeah, it's a cycle.
Product. I'm taking from the earth to make my product. Why would I then want to take something that I've pulled from the earth, the resources that I grabbed from the earth, to then put out something that's only going to harm her?
Imagine, you know, if everyone thought that way. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like karma. It's like, she gave me something good, now let me give her something good. And it's a gift that keeps on giving. And that's why I want to say Territory has gotten its Territory for the most part is definitely for a specific skin type, but then right after that, you know that I do my best to be sustainable and and eco-conscious at all times. It's definitely a forefront for me.
Are there any, like, because I think talking about products, I mean, there's so much shit out there that, I mean, in our products, and like, are there anything or any ingredients or things that people should look out for in their products that are like red flags?
Everybody is responsible to do their own research. Everyone has access to the internet. If you I shouldn't say that, not everybody does, but if you have access to the internet, Google something that you find interesting. Google what it is. Google the toxicity level. Google the reactions that may possibly happen from using this ingredient over time. Google the shelf life or the purpose of this ingredient. There's so many ingredients in our products that are used just to preserve whatever it is. There are ingredients in there to give it the color that it has, or to keep the color, to stabilize the color of whatever it is, which is, I think, is so stupid. I don't understand. Like, if something's going to change color, let it change color.
Yeah.
That's natural. It's a natural process that it's going to have.
People, like, I feel like nowadays, like, consumers are so used to perfection and, like,
yeah,
like, really vibrant colors and perfect colors and things that don't fade or change or.
Right. And I think that's the trick. That's the disillusion. People need to understand that nature happens regardless. Mm-hmm. You know, people ask me, well, I will take a photo of one of my soaps that are green, and I use spirulina in one of my soaps.
Oh, that's so interesting.
As soon as I make it, it's a beautiful bright color, bright green color. But then by the time it's cured and the customer gets it, it gets like a darker, dirty olive green. And they get back to me, well, this isn't the same color as what it is in the photo. And I have to explain to people, this is a natural item. Spirulina, if it sits in the sun or if it's out and if light is exposed to it, it oxidizes. That's a natural causing thing. I'm not going to use an artificial green color to satisfy your visual fixation that you have now, so that 2 months later when you get the item, it's still like, no. This item is for a specific purpose, and I'm not going to do anything to it to take away from the purpose of, because then what's the point?
I love that. That's so important. Can I ask, so your soaps, this might be a dumb question, but like, where do you use them? Is it like face, body, everything? Like,
so I focus on eczema and sensitive skin. However, there's a lot of misconception about soap and using it on the face. I never use my soap on my face.
Okay. That's good to
know. There are people that can. Me, I think those are the people that have flawless skin, no matter what they do, no matter what they eat, no matter if they wear makeup or not, or whatever. I think those people, they're fine. They can use that. Me, I am very acne prone and I have very sensitive skin on my face. So I just don't, there's just the science between, I respect the skincare industry when they deal with face, because the face and the body are two different animals. And so I'm triggering the body. The body is a little bit more, it's a little bit harder to ruin the skin on your body compared to the skin on your face. The skin on your face is very sensitive, and it's thinner. It's more sensitive to light. It's always being exposed to light. So your stuff up here is always happening. Your body is covered and protected from the environment. However, I am triggering and addressing things that are happening on the inside of the body. And, you know, because eczema is an autoimmune disorder. So things are happening inside the body that are coming out onto your skin, on your body. Yes, it can happen on the face. It can happen in your scalp. It can happen anywhere up here. However, I find that people that have acne on their face don't really have, I'm sorry. I find that the people that have eczema, that get like little eczema breakouts on their face, don't really deal with acne. So, you know, I mean, I come across people with skin issues across the board, but I notice, you know, people that have like little breakouts on their face, they generally have clear from acne skin. So it's okay. It's very, very, it's a very specific situation when I would tell people to use my soap on their face. It's usually when they have a breakout on their face and they don't really deal with acne, because it can, soap is a lot harsher than your facial wash, because your facial wash was designed for your face. It's a lot gentler.
Yeah.
However, I do not use coconut oil, and coconut oil is my trigger, and it's a lot of other people's trigger as far as breakouts and further irritation from a breakout on their body for eczema or any dry patches. as well as palm oil. And a lot of people don't know that. Palm oil and coconut oil will dry the shit out of your skin.
I can attest to that because I've struggled a lot with my hair. So like I have, it doesn't really look like it, but like I have really thick hair and my, I have really bad dermatitis on my scalp. So, and it's so bad. Like I could like flip my head and it'll just like, it's awful. And so I have, it's like, it's not quite psoriasis, but it's so bad. And my hairstylist the other day, because I went just to get like my hair washed, she was like, you need to switch your shampoo. And I've struggled because I want to reduce my waist. And I want to, you know, go try to go package free. But then all of the shampoo bars out there are like, at least the ones that are like natural, are like saponified palm or coconut oil.
Exactly.
And
have you tried my soap?
On my hair?
Have you tried it at all?
I haven't yet. I got it like, I think like last week. I have to
give it a shot in your scalp for like,
I want to, because once I saw your post about that and I'm really interested to see, I want to try it.
Give it a shot. And I would, and honestly, I would say just focus on the scalp. Don't drag it in your hair. I mean, if you have something else for the rest of your hair, but like, focus on the scalp with the shampoo, with the bar. If even if that means like parting your hair in the shower and like rubbing the, to just to get a lather going.
Yeah.
I would say do that and just focus on the scalp. I don't know how often are you washing hair as well?
Yeah, I mean, I wash it like, it's like varied. I've tried like once a week. I've tried like once like then a couple times a week.
And then what do you put in your hair? Do you use any oils or any?
Yeah, I'll use a little bit of oils because my hair is like, it's just like a dryer and it tangles really easily. Like I've broken combs before.
Wow.
It was like last year I was like combing my hair and my boyfriend's comb like snapped.
And I was like, hi boyfriend.
Oh yeah. He's plugging in. He's plugging in my charger because my, that's so low. But yeah, no, it's so tricky. It's so tricky when you're trying to reduce your waist. And then the only options out there are really like, you know, like saponified oils, which, and then it's hard because it's like, I'm pretty good with products, but then it's like, some people say it's great and then other people say it's not, but I'm really excited to try your products. And my hairstylist told me the same thing. She said, just scrub it in. And I'm excited now.
Which one did you purchase? I'm just curious.
Well, so I won it in the giveaway.
Oh
yeah. It was the giveaway. Oh my gosh. It was literally.
Wait, whose giveaway?
It was
yes. Oh, awesome.
Wait, let me, I was like, when I got this package, I was like so excited. So I got, oh, they're so pretty. I got this one.
Okay. So you got plantain. That's cool.
Which one is this?
Plantain and coffee.
It's like plantain?
Plantain.
Pronounced plantain. I thought it was pronounced plantain. I say plantain, but then people correct me and say plantain.
I say plantain and I'll be damned if anybody corrects me. It's plantain or plantain. However it comes off, roll out the mouth, it's fine. It's plantain. I say plantain.
Yes. Okay. I say plantain because a girl from, I watch this vegan girl on YouTube who like makes like Afro-Caribbean food and she said plantain and I was like,
it's fine, girl. Yeah. Please. Yeah, don't, it's, yeah. And then aloe detox. That's the one that I would recommend. Because I mean, you could actually do both. It really doesn't.
I'm so excited.
I wouldn't do both only because you don't want the coffee to get in your hair, but the aloe detox is the aloe.
They smell amazing. Like they're so pretty and they have little bows and like that. Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm so excited. How can people, support your business?
Oh, you could use did you get the body butter?
Yes.
You could put that in your hair.
Okay, I think it's about on. Oh my gosh, it's so nice. This packaging, seriously.
You could put that in
your hair.
That
looks like fancy, like expensive.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love it.
Smell it.
The font's really nice.
Oh, thank you.
I love nice font. yeah, so how can people support your business?
Sign up for the email, subscription, because I do not release. My store is closed during the time that I'm making the soap. And then I come out with a release a few times a year, like every 2 months. So my next release is going to be in December. So perfect. I suggest, yeah, so I encourage everyone to go to the website at www.terra-territory.com. Sign up, hit subscribe, send me your email and your name, and you will be on the list so that when I send out the next email to let you guys know when everything will be in stock, you have as much time as you can. My shit sells fast.
Yeah, because it smells so good.
It sells really fast. Like, so
this is really nice soap.
And I'm even having a hard time keeping up with demands, but it's a blessing. And again, I built everything myself, so it's a good feeling to know that I'm finally at the point where I can provide a product for people that really helps them and makes them rethink the shit that they've been using all their lives. You know what I mean? I mean, no shade to Dr. Bronner's, but, you know, no
shade. It dries out my skin. Because that's what I use right now on my body. And my legs are so, like, flaky and ashy.
Literally, and it's because of the coconut oil content is very high. This was before I knew I was allergic to coconut oil, and I would get, like, weird random breakouts in different parts of my body that was completely unrelated to anything. And I noticed that, you know, when I would stop, I would take a break from using Dr. Bronner's or Dove or Zest or whatever the fuck I was using, whatever Summer's Eve body wash or whatever. I noticed that when I stepped away, there was a soap brand that I was using, all natural soap, and their soap was only made from olive oil. It's a Castile soap. That's what true Castile soap is.
Really?
Castile soap is a single oil soap.
Okay.
That means they only use one oil to make, not coconut oil, jojoba oil, not this whole long list of different oils. One oil. That's what a Castile soap is. So that's why when Dr. Bronner's calls themselves, they say it's a Castile soap and there's multiple oils in it. That's actually good to know though.
Something that I use so many things that have Castile soap, but I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Castile soap is a single oil soap. Now, I was using a Castile soap and I realized that, and it was just some like, it was like Trader Joe's brand of like, I think it was like olive oil with like goat milk. And it was like 99 cents. I kid you not.
Trader Joe's stuff is so good, though.
Yo, Trader Joe's is the shit. Let me tell you something.
My mom's skincare regimen is just Trader Joe's.
Yo, I'm not mad at her. And I'm not mad at her for it. But I would step away from the store-bought stuff, and I would use this Trader Joe's 99-cent bar of olive oil. I'm lying. It's not 99 cents. It wasn't 99. It was like $8. But it was this regular ass tan cube car. It was like a flat disc, and it was unscented. It had no smell, and it said olive oil and goat milk. And honey, in about less than a week, my breakouts were gone.
That's amazing.
Then when that soap bar was finished, all I have is Dr. Bronner's. Let me go right back to it. In less than a week, I already noticed my hands are breaking out. My skin is super dry. And I'm just like, it's the fucking soap. It is. And then later on, I got tested. It's like, boop, coconut oil, high levels of coconut oil. It strips you dry. It strips you dry. And palm oil.
Too, because we use so many products nowadays that it's like, how do I know what it is?
Palm oil and coconut oil are the cheapest oils to get your hands on. And a lot of soap makers use that to make up 50% of their
product. To do an episode about palm oil because that's an interesting topic.
I'm happy to do it with you, girl.
Oh my gosh, yeah. palm oil is so interesting, and that whole industry is like up and down and crazy.
I do have to jump off in less than 5 minutes.
So okay. Well, my closing question is, it's another like kind of deep question, but as an individual, an environmentalist, what gives you hope for the future?
I think as long as people stick to their guns and don't fold because they're trying to make a profit, or as long as people are staying true to their story and staying true to the fact that they are being environmentally conscious, like myself, and as long as I'm sticking to my guns and I'm inspiring other people to follow the same footsteps, I think that's what's giving me hope. I'm giving myself hope. I think if I could keep this going, somebody's gonna see it and hopefully take from it and learn from it. So many people already have, you know.
That's
so
such a good answer.
You know, so many people already have, and so I think as long and no matter how big or small I am, as long as I can inspire one person to think differently as far as creating less waste and trying to be a little bit more conscious, I think then I could reach many different people.
Thank you again, everyone, for tuning into this episode of Seeking Sustainability. If you enjoyed this episode or any others that you've listened to, then make sure to follow the podcast on whatever platform you're tuning in from. Also, to stay connected, you can follow the podcast Instagram at seekingsustainability_podcast and my personal Instagram at julia.planford. As always, feel free to reach out to me regarding any questions, comments, or episode requests. And of course, share this podcast with anyone who you feel might be interested in learning a bit more about environmentalism and sustainability as well. Thanks, everyone, and I will talk to you guys soon.